Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Paul Tonko, the big word on everybody's lips is the I word, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we walking in, are we being played for suckers? Are we walking into a negotiation with the Iranians in which they won't keep their word? When their time's ripe, they'll make a bomb, they'll do whatever they have to do, and they're no goodniks. Now, let's assume for a second that they are no goodniks. I certainly believe that. Then the question is, should we be pursuing this, or should we be listening to Bibi Netanyahu and all like that?
Well, I think, obviously, Iran is a big concern. It's a big concern in regard to peace and, a coexistence that is as steady as possible. And I think that in the beginning, we need to acknowledge that, look, a nuclear-armed Iran is not good for Israel. It's not good, certainly, for the United States. It's not good for the world. And it appears as though, with these negotiations, that diplomacy may be our best opportunity. When you think of other methods of trying to resolve this issue, it might not have the deliberation or the oversight that is essential. Now, the framework that has been established is that, just that. It's a framework. It's a start. I believe that in that framework are a number of concessions. So that gives people a sense of hope.
Concessions by the Iranians.
By the Iranians. And, you know, the old adage, the devil's in the detail, is where we'll be for the next months as they try to nail down the various guidelines of the package. The fact that centrifuges, which are that, you know, the ability, the capacity, the equipment to create the nuclear bomb, have been vastly reduced, I think, by a quarter. They're left by from 20,000, I believe it is, down to 5. A huge drop in that potential. Stockpiling, taking that stockpile and reducing it drastically. Those are important steps. Making certain that you have inspectors in there. The ongoing routine inspection, investigators going in for the international community, I think is an important opportunity here. So I am anxious to see where we go from here with the details. But, you know, to render them with far less centrifuges, in fact, they would be keeping the oldest, least efficient of their given equipment. And then the stockpiling and, of course, how that is dismantled is a big issue. So we will be watching any progress here, hope for progress. But I do think that diplomacy, coming together at the table, disarming, reducing their ability to create a nuclear bomb, if we take that away, then that will have been seen, I think, as at least as successful as one can hope in this process. To consider the alternatives where under duress, under attack, we may try to address this issue. I don't think you would have the scrutiny of the inspectors, and you certainly wouldn't have the methodical, mechanical approach to determining just how much they have to reduce their activity by. So allowing, you know, obviously a concern for nuclear weapons is, again, something that is harmful to the U.S., to Israel, to the world, and to be able to achieve or move towards achieving an outcome that allows for perhaps nuclear fuel as we have in various countries and not the potential for a nuclear bomb is a pretty lofty goal.
Now look, Paul Tonko, I'm Jewish and I'm a fan of Israel. I was raised that way, and yet I find myself differing with the Prime Minister, with Netanyahu, on things like, you know, more housing projects and previously Arab-dominated lands and things like that. Nevertheless, there seems to be a certain amount of gloating among Republicans that this is going to lose the Jewish vote for, you know, Obama and for the Democrats in the future. And they've been naming senators who, you know, who might have to take difficult votes on this. Now, something I've never understood is that about 2% of America is Jewish, which is actually less than 2%. How important is that vote?
I think, obviously, the bond between Israel and the United States is a powerful one. It's one that requires, I believe, our loyalty. And I think there's a reasonable sense to where people come in terms of these discussions. And not surprisingly, I believe, and speaking to a number of my Jewish constituents, many of the issues of concern are those that are of concern to the greater public.
To everybody.
Education. How do we train and further develop our children? Higher ed opportunities and the cost of college and the impact on a middle-income community. Jobs, creation of jobs. Those, I think, are still the predominant factors. Of course, no one is standing for a sellout on Israel's security or stability or protection.
Republicans will paint it that way.
Right, but I think, again, the driving force is, where are we for many of these issues? I don't see it as a one-issue community. They certainly don't want a sellout of Israel here, and I don't think that... You know, there will be two sides to the story. There will be two sets of opinions, if not more. And I think that the onus will be on sharing the information here, where we've come, how we achieve that. And I think the routine inspection, the overview, the oversight of where we go from here into the future is a powerful one.
Mm. So the question then becomes whether or not the Republican need to sort of go there is a false one, or whether or not it will pay political dividends.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of this was portrayed somewhat in the speech that Prime Minister Netanyahu made before Congress. And, you know, with loyalty, people were still speaking with concern and upset about the process that was followed. So I think some of the political orchestration that might have been part of the Speaker and the majority in the House was seen for what it is. And even if people attended the speech or thought you should attend the speech or that, you know, whether it was an appropriate time, all of that was discussed on the sidelines. And I don't think did the Republican Party a great favor. So I think, you know, the dynamics of this where you're using a block of people for political advantage comes to light. And I think that, you know, constituents can read genuine, they can read sincerity very well. And I think that will be helpful.
I only have less than a minute, but I wanted to ask you something. There's a lot of talk now that your colleague, we all like him, Chris Gibson, the Republican, might run for governor, presumably against Andrew Cuomo. Would he have a chance of winning?
Well, I think New York is a very tough state for, you know, certain political dynamics. And I think that the test is always a very difficult one for a Republican candidate. And, you know, he's a clever guy. He's, you know, I've enjoyed working with him, serving with him. But New York is a tough testing ground, battleground, for the Republican Party, statewide contests.
Paul Tucker, love having you with us. I wish you'd come every day, but as it turns out, we can only have you, you know, every couple of weeks. That makes you terrific.
That's always my pleasure. So good to be with you.